Let me tell you why I don't think a blanket tax on unrealized gain is a good thing. I mean, let's say you're an entrepreneur. You create a company. It gets to 100 million or 200 million on paper. Now, if you're taxing that, you're probably going to force that person to sell it. They're probably going to sell it to private equity. Do you really want the entrepreneurs to be forced to sell their companies to larger institutions and to decline in value? I don't think that that's what you want for a startup ecosystem.
That would be the ecosystem. Unintended consequence.
That's Ro Khanna, who's a Democrat, and he's, I don't even know what just happened there. He's actually saying something that's not stupid. He's talking about the unrealized, the tax that Kamala Harris is promoting on unrealized gains, and he disagrees with it? It's a Democrat that disagrees with it? Is there perchance some discord amongst the members of the left as it pertains to these economic policies that are being promoted? I don't know. I've got some questions. It's a very confusing Friday. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. I saw that and I was like, no, because I think that's one. I think he actually is one of the first Democrats maybe to really disagree with her proposal on merit, you know, and I think do so intelligibly. I'm just shocked because it's a Democrat that's doing it. And I don't know. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this first hour as it pertains to the program. So happy Friday to you. Yeah, the property taxes is a tax on unrealized gains. We're going to get to that. Kane's making note of that. The whole argument angers me. So welcome. You know, you can also listen, you're listening to the radio program terrestrially. We're also at 347 DirecTV and X and Rumble and all that good stuff. So a few things to update you on. First and foremost, obviously, we're all barreling towards that debate next week. The whole entire week, I feel like coming up is going to be just about that. I really feel like it's going to be entirely about that debate and preparing for it and how insane that's going to be. I really feel like the whole week is going to be sucked up by that. And then, of course, you're going to have the insane spin from the left on Harris, depending on how poorly she does. But I feel like this week, they're using this week to kind of defend and shore up her policies ahead of the debate. Like, they're feeling out where the holes are that they think they can argue, right? And so the whole situation with the capital gains and unrealized gains tax and property tax being similar to that, that's so stupid. That's an absolute joke. Because property tax, first off, I mean, all of it's unconstitutional. But property taxes, though, you get something for that. I mean, to compare property tax, which is something that is real, which is an asset, to a completely arbitrary, non-existent thing, you see how that doesn't work, right? But that's the situation that people find themselves in when they insist on making those comparisons. So some of the polling, it's still very close. This is why we don't have time to mess around with anything else. Trump needs to be, everything needs to be about the economy with him and immigration. You're smirking over there, Kane. Why?
I saw what Nate Silver put out last night. And it's showing a larger gap now.
A larger Trump ahead. Gap. A larger yeah, gap. And, but if you believe, was Nate Silver correct, though, in 2022 and 2018?
When people are polled and they're asked about Trump, the natural reaction for most people.
We've said this for four years.
That's why I don't.
It hasn't worked
that much.
It didn't work in 2022 because everyone, we were promised this like red deluge and it never happened. We were promised a red tsunami. You know, never happened. 2020, we were told, oh my gosh, there's going to be more votes for Republicans than you've ever seen in your life.
Exactly. And how weird.
I didn't say that. Somebody else did.
It didn't materialize like that. It's so weird.
Well, and if you look at split ticket voting, there's some explanations for that. So my whole point is that I don't want anyone to feel like this is in the bag. And I see too many people. I see too many people doing that. It's too many people are doing it. And it's close. The whole Nate Silver thing is close. But I'm having Kane Turner prop. It's literally blinding me in my face. I can't even see you. It's like someone has a strobe light right over there. It's a giant metal grenade, and the spotlight, the lights in the studio were hitting it to the point where I was like blinded. So I'm like, can you
somebody turn? It's that brilliant chrome.
It's that sweet chrome. That's sweet chrome. No, my whole point is that people are like, oh, look at the surveys. The gap is widening. Mm-hmm. Okay, look, our work is done. Shut up. There are people who, I'm not kidding you. I'm getting that vibe, not from you guys particularly. Some people out there, and you know who some of them are, I feel like they're putting that out there. I had a friend who was saying, who was on Facebook. I hate getting on Facebook, by the way. I hate Facebook so bad. I hate everything social media wise, which is weird because I think it really helped put me where I am, which is ironic, but it's become horrible. It's Frankenstein's monster. Anyway, long story short, I hate Facebook because people get on there, and if you don't like so-and-so's post, so-and-so is offended. I don't live on Facebook, right? And I hate when people share news and do all this stuff on Facebook, and then they act like that's the same thing as texting you or calling you. Can't stand it. Anyway, I know I'm 90, but I had a friend who was on Facebook saying, oh, did you see? And they were citing the Nate Silver. And that's just one, by the way. But they were citing some of the Nate Silver surveys. And my friend was saying, well, look, you know, this is all going to wash out. I forget how I took a screenshot. This is all going to wash out in the end, and the gap will widen ever more. Don't listen to what the media is telling you about the close numbers. Mike, first off, you didn't even read any of these. I know for a fact you didn't. Why are you sitting here speaking like in any position of authority on this? You didn't go and look at the crosstabs. You didn't go and look at the demographics. You didn't look to see where they pulled from. You didn't look to see the age ranges. You didn't even look into deep enough into the methodology to see if it was a phone survey or not. Because there are different kinds. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Why are you telling people this? Why are you telling people that it's all going to wash out and it's okay? You're giving people this like false sense of hope. Now, here's the thing. When you're looking at polls and like Nate Silver used to do 538 for New York Times. And then going up into 2016, he was actually correct in 2016. And he was telling Democrats, you can't disregard, particularly in those blue wall states, you can't disregard where the left and where independents are kind of coming down on. And Democrats did it anyway. And then they got mad at Nate Silver because they thought that apparently he knew something they didn't, because he was accurately observing what was happening and they were too close and too blind to see it. But he is a prognosticator. All of these people are. And their industry is built on who claims to have the best methodology. You have to remember that. It is still an industry. That is a business too. It is an industry. And there's so many variables. It gets varied. There are many variables, and it is something that is entirely dependent literally upon the news of the day. It is as volatile as Wall Street. That's what makes it incredibly difficult to pinpoint a lot of this stuff. I mean, what was it? Yogi Berra was like, it's difficult to make predictions, especially about the future. I mean, you got to think about this stuff. It's hinged upon what happens that particular given day. So by the time you're getting survey results, they're pretty much a week old, which is like decades old in political polling time. But all of these people, it's an industry of prognosticators. That's exactly what it is. They are determining the odds, and everyone insists that their methods of determining the odds are better than the other guy's methods of determining the odds. And so some of them have better records than others. Nobody has a perfect record. And he even says, and I will give Nate Silver credit, he's not like some of these other cats out there who insist that they know exactly, you know, what the lay of the land is and that their way is the best way. I mean, he literally says in the piece that Kane was referencing and that a lot of people were citing this morning and last night, well, who's going to win the election? And he writes, quote, well, honestly, we don't know. We can give our best probabilistic guess. And that's what they say. That's it. Now, they are saying that Trump has odds better odds than Kamala Harris right now. They're not, it's not massively different. I mean, it's literally like a point away from the standard margin of error. But he's arguing that Trump has a better chance of winning than Kamala Harris does at this moment. And as I can't stress this enough. This is literally, I said this yesterday, surveys are a snapshot in time. This is a snapshot in time. And it is not that much of a lead at this snapshot in time. It is not. Look at the lay of the land. Holy hell, guys, we're broke and the border's open. Why is it only this far apart? And the reason I caution you on saying that everything is cheating is because that's the best way to keep you from looking at what at some of the other contributors to the cause here. If Republicans don't understand how to manage split ticket voting, they'll continue to lose. Democrats are completely fine with that. I know that if I'm going up against a political opponent, I want them to not pay attention to the thing that is truly plaguing them. And I want them to pay attention to all this ancillary stuff that, you know, whether it has that much of an impact or not remains to be seen. But we definitely know that these other issues do. I just don't want them paying attention to those other issues. I don't want them to stop the leak in their boat. And the RNC and everyone else is too, honestly, the right has gotten too tribal. I don't even know if the right can deal with split ticket voting. Everyone gets so damn butthurt over everything, and they don't realize that pointing out a serious leak in your boat is not an attack, and it's not an affront, and it's not someone trying to offend someone else. It's, do you want to win? Then stop it. It's that. So these surveys are a snapshot in time. And if you look at, even if you look at 538's, let me pull this up, his silver bulletin. I mean, you can see that this goes back in June, the gap was bigger. It's actually narrowed. It's actually, I mean, narrowed significantly since May. Now, there's a number of things that could be a result of that, because you have switched out Joe and Kamala. Then you had the DNC. She added her VP. She didn't get really much of a bounce from the convention, though. But definitely since she's been in the race, that gap has narrowed. So when we're talking about the number of points between them, again, it's a snapshot in time. It's this specific week, essentially. And why is it that it's narrowed just even in the past month? He's in the lead, but it's narrowed. Is that a trend? Is that a one-off? No one's asking those very important questions. You can't just be like, oh, he's in the lead. That's it. Okay, wait a minute. Is it a narrowed lead? If so, why? Where? Who are the surveys that reported it? What is the demo of those surveys? Where were they pulled from, et cetera? Do you see how all of this stuff factors in? We got a lot to hit, at least amongst it all, the polling. We're also going to get into the latest. We got a lot of information about this killer in Georgia, a lot of new information. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey, and you can get free socks. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Johnny Cash is going to have a statue unveiled in the Capitol. According to MSN, a statue depicting Johnny Cash departed Arkansas for Washington on Thursday. State officials gave the bronze figure a send-off towards its new home at the U.S. Capitol. It said they had Cash's family outside the Capitol as well to watch this statue being moved. The Cash statue is the second new one that Arkansas has sent to replace two existing ones representing the state in the U.S. Capitol. So that's why they send them there. Landband, the new series. This is going to be a very interesting series. It's Taylor Sheridan's, you know, he's the guy who did Yellowstone. Landman is the latest, according to Variety. It dropped its first trailer. Billy Bob Thornton stars as Tommy Norris, a.k.a. the Landman. He's a peacekeeper and problem solver in the world of Texas oil rigs. And they have Demi Moore and many others in it. Fun fact. So the people who do the location scouts, they actually came and scouted our house for this series. And so we had like one of the Sheridan people come, and they didn't use us, obviously. But I thought, please tell me it's not going to be like, you know, meth people or something like that are going to be here. I'm going to watch it. It's going to be interesting. They do most of it in Texas, where Sheridan has his ranch. And so a lot of money and a lot of fun stuff they bring to Fort Worth. But it's adapted from a Boomtown 2019 podcast called Boomtown. So it's Landman, the new series, trailer's out. Let's see. There's South Park is returning in 2025. Creators are skipping the election on purpose. And they're waiting for Paramount to figure out their business. They're skipping the election on purpose. I don't know what I think about that, because that was actually one I was really waiting to come back. We got a lot more, including Green Day running from drones. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is the folks over at Burnagun, the non-firearm firearm, because, you know, there are some places that are gun-free zones, and that's just the reality of private property and the reality of life. And so in this situation, you know, you want to make sure that you're able to defend yourself. And this is where Burnagun comes in. It's a Burnagun non-firearm firearm. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks or permits required, and it can be shipped directly to your door. And gun-free isn't applicable to Burna, and it's practical whenever you're going into a gun-free zone. And so you can learn more about the Burna. Visit Burna.com/Dana, B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana, and get 10% off. That's B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a nation, we cannot continue to accept the carnage of gun violence. I'm a gun owner. I believe strongly in the amendment.
And the amendment.
Need more thought,
go
more
sports.
And prayers. Some of my Republican friends in Congress are just finally have to
I
say
can't listen
enough
to him anymore.
Enough.
Sorry. I was going to try to see this all the way out. I believe in the amendment. What, sir? You know, the amendment. Like, go sports. Did you watch the sports team yesterday, Kane? The sports teams? They had a match. Did you watch it? And one of them had a score down. Yay. And they won the game, right?
Go team.
Go team. Rah, rah. I support the amendment.
Where's his damn tie? Did you see that?
I don't.
Juan, put that up again. Just show it.
Yeah.
Why is he dressed like that?
I have probably the most controversial opinion I'm ever going to have in my life. And keep it up there, Juan. And some of you out there in Radio Land are going to get really mad at me right now. Drink your drink, Kane. Go ahead. Take that sip.
You're about to what?
Just some people are going to get really mad at me. It is the most controversial thing I will have ever said on the show. And some of you out there are probably going to turn me off. Here it is. I don't want to see no old man neck button your damn shirt. I don't want to see that turkey neck sticking out that collar. I don't want to see it. Button it up. That's why the Lord gave you a button up there.
Thank you.
Just button it up. I don't want to see the waddle.
I'm looking at our live
waddle,
numbers.
Baby. Waddle, baby. Waddle, baby. Waddle. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it gyrate like a stripper in between that collar while you're talking. I don't want to see it.
You thought people would tune out, but I'm looking at the live numbers here. We're actually getting an increase.
I'm just saying, I don't like old man neck with an open shirt collar like that. If you're going to go to, if you're wearing a dark color jacket, number one, and then you're wearing that chambray, it's, I'm going to get so bad. You're wearing the chambray shirt. Okay, that's not a casual color. It's not a casual jacket, and this is not a casual setting. You need a tie. Furthermore, when your neck be hanging that low, You need to be buttoning up that button. The good Lord gave you a button right there. Use it. Hallelujah. Use it. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
You set it up as an unpopular opinion.
It is, because some people are going to be like, she's talking about my old man neck.
No.
And then they're going to get real upset, because that's how people in internet land, not you guys, but that's how some people, you all know, because you deal with them every day. You say something, and they're like, well, why do you hate me? And it's like, I'm not even talking about you.
What? Even if you were talking about me, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? My old man turkey.
But you know what I mean? It just looks disrespectful. I get real old school about this stuff. You're wearing a dark colored jacket, button up that damn shirt. I don't want to be seeing that, especially when your neck's looking like that. Good night.
He's still the president and everything?
Jeez, I'm telling you. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think he is. Who knows? I don't know. Can we stop having the people who are leaders speak facing full sun, too? That'd be great. I mean, you know, just turn it at an angle. Tell me, who's advancing this stuff? Remember the time that he was over, and I think it was like one of the previous G7s, something like that, and he was over, where was it, in France, and he was speaking, and he was like legit melting under the sun. He was sweating so bad. It was like watching a candle sweat.
Yeah,
that was
mask,
so bad.
That mask was pulling double duty there.
Juan says he's going for the Playboy look. I don't even know what type of Playboy you're referencing, sir. Don't even know what that is.
That's the difference between the two generations. I was like, man, he's got that Saturday Night Fever chest.
And no, like, he has to have, no, now if he was doing that, you know what he's missing, Kane?
Gold medallion and chest hair.
Thank you. Because the chest hair is the nest for the gold medallion. That's what it is.
Every time you say it, it cracks me up.
It's the nest.
Is that what it is?
It's like a bird's nest, but of just human hair for the medallion to be placed. You know, it's like when you order something in the mail and it's like valuable, like that lamp, right, from a Christmas Story, and they had all that straw in it. It's like that. It's packed up, you know? Anyway, what was the amendment. We got some unsettling things here about this killer's father and the family in Georgia. So the father was arrested yesterday. This came out yesterday evening. The father, I'm not going to say the kid's name because I do believe in the copycat effect. I mean, that's a proven thing. But the father, Colin Gray, he's been arrested on multiple counts. 54 years old, he faces 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts second degree murder, 8 counts of cruelty to children. He apparently was reported to be super abusive. Super abusive. I'm going to save that soundbite. Super abusive to his son, all of this. And we're going to talk about these charges here a little bit coming up with my friend Andrew Branca. Because this, I made mention of this on social media, is kind of like the Crumbly effect. You know, the Ethan Crumbly case. I'm only going to say his name once. His parents were also convicted. And it was related to the negligence in essentially facilitating his acquisition of a weapon when he was really, I mean, you know, legally barred from having it. And, you know, he went out and did what he did. Tragedy. So this particular case, this seems really similar to me. Because in the Crumbly case, that, I mean, the parents were just convicted in April, I think. I think it was in April that they were convicted. And this is another case, and I feel like the Crumbly case is setting a precedent for it, where parents are being held responsible if there is negligence involved. And that's the thing. We have negligence laws, and if it's actionable under negligence laws, then it's actionable. That's why I keep saying you don't need all of these other additional laws. And the reason why this individual, going by the charging docs, is facing these charges is because even after his son had previously made death threats, and these were felonious level, I mean, going online and saying that you're going to shoot and kill people at your school and being very specific with stuff to the point where the FBI comes out to interview you. The dad apparently was defending his kid, saying, well, there's no way it could have been him. No way. The kid made the comments on Discord, which is just a facilitation of communication. And a lot of people try to act like, oh, he was a gamer. We don't even know that he played any video games, just that he was on Discord, which is used by gamers. Sometimes it's like for discussion. But he made that comment on Discord, and the FBI came out to his house, and the dad was defending him, and they were struggling. I think they were struggling to pinpoint the origin of the post origin, or to prove beyond any reasonable doubt that it was definitively him. He was the one who did post this, because he was denying it six ways to Sunday. Which, sorry, I don't believe you. I think he totally did it. I mean, considering now, especially. So after that, they said, because the FBI, the Jackson County Sheriff, Janice Magnum, said that they couldn't bring charges at the time. They said we did all we could with what we had at the time. Now, keep that in mind. Keep that on the burner. So the dad then afterwards goes and purchases a rifle for his son, because the kid, being 14 years old, can't go and buy it himself. He's 14 years old. You have to be 18 to go and make that purchase, and you can't carry it because you're not 18. So he goes and purchases this rifle for his son. And this is why these negligence laws are coming into play, or the ancillary negligence laws are coming into play here, and why he's being charged with this. Because, you know, clearly the kid, I think, had maybe mental health issues, but he was evil. I mean, that's for certain. He was evil. I'm going to say something that also might be considered controversial. I don't care how messed up your home life is. There are a lot of people that come from a lot of broken homes around this country, and there are a lot of people that had abusive parents in this country, and that does not make every kid a murderer or potential murderer. People have choices, and if you're 14 years old, you're not a moron. This kid is just evil. And so the dad buys him a rifle. Knowing all of this, the dad was apparently abusive. Knowing all of this, the dad buys him a rifle. The mom is MIA. Mom sounds like a real piece of work. This woman, this female, Marcy Gray, she's been in and out of prison. She's got an arrest record. She's got meth issues and vehicle theft, drug trafficking, all kinds of stuff. She's got a serious pattern of criminal behavior. I mean, and the marriage, they separated after 14 years. Apparently there was domestic abuse in that as well. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. Now, I go back to the FBI or local law enforcement saying that we did all we could with what we had at the time. Everything begins in the home. Everything. In this particular situation, I do question whether or not they were able, or what efforts they put into determining that he made these original threats. I also question as to what other actions this 14-year-old undertook that perhaps could have validated seeking to adjudicate him a prohibited possessor, or, well, he's already a prohibited possessor, seeking to adjudicate him and having him committed. I think there were probably a lot of other things there that would have fit the existing legal framework to have him committed, or criminal activity to have him detained and sent to juvie. Because law enforcement saying, well, we did all we could with what we had at the time. Sometimes that's accurate. Sometimes it's the parents that are supposed to be the ones who are acting. Sometimes it's the family that are supposed to be the ones who are acting and who are intervening, not just on behalf of their loved ones, but on the behalf of helping to, you know, keep the public safe too from their loved ones. That doesn't mean that you have to give up your rights because his mom was a POS. Because his dad was an abusive son of a bitch doesn't mean that you got to give up your rights. Why should I be rendered defenseless because this guy beat his wife and kid and didn't parent and didn't step up and be a dad? Why should you? This has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Absolutely nothing. Guns have been banned for over 30 years on school grounds. This school system was one that did not allow for qualified teacher carry. Further, this guy is being charged with crimes related to negligence in this whole case. It is not a Second Amendment issue. It is an issue of bad parenting. And I had a listener bring this up, and this is why I wanted to bring on Andrew Branca later on in the program. A really smart listener made the point of, okay, well, now if we're going to start doing this, if we're going to arrest these parents, which some parents are negligent, why don't we start arresting the parents of gang members who are killing people? I mean, is this going to be a consistent policy? Why don't we also start there? What about the parents who are letting their kids run wild in the streets involved in drug trafficking and gang crime? Are we going to start charging those parents too? That's a genuine question. Remember, everything starts at home. We're going to talk about this with Andrew Branca. And also, he was charged as an adult. And some people were questioning that. You know, there are times when a juvenile commits a crime and it is elevated to that of an adult charge. And that's, I mean, from what I understand, when the crimes are so egregious that the penalty afforded by the juvenile system is just not enough. And I think that that's incredibly applicable in this case. Now, the way that Georgia law is, he is not eligible for the death penalty. So he can have life in prison with the possibility of parole or life in prison without the possibility of parole. Those are the strictest penalties that he can get, because at the time that the crime was committed, and he is, you know, just now only 14, it's measured by when the time of the crime was committed, what age the perpetrator was. And if they're under age 18, then they're ineligible for the death penalty. So he's 4 years off from the death penalty being eligible for that. Imagine if you had a GPS for your body's engine in your hands. That's exactly what you get with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Lumen is a breath-based metabolism tracker. It's a little tiny, see? You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day, and you get a metabolism snapshot and personalized nutrition plan. Then the app tells you if you're burning fat or if you're burning carbs. And when your metabolism is firing on all cylinders, you get a whole bunch of other benefits. I mean, you get smoother weight management, a boost in energy, enhanced fitness results, and even better sleep. But it doesn't stop there. This very nifty little device also adjusts its advice to keep your metabolism in check through hormonal shifts. So taking all factors into account, it's all based on real-time data and proven science. With Lumen, you're always in the driver's seat. So take the guesswork out and know with real data what your body needs. Take the next step in improving your health and visit lumen.me/Dana Show to get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show for 15% off of your purchase.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So I was there in some ways. I wasn't there because I was really trying to focus on, okay, man, there's a lot of people here. There's so much energy, the signs, and I have to get up there somehow. And so when I saw her come out, I was like, what? But my new best friend, Tim Walls, is right next to me, and he's just losing his mind. And so,
what? Between that and jazz hands, geez. I don't know. This is weird. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird. That was, what is his second dude? Doug Emhoff, right? Yeah. That's Kamala Harris's husband. That's Mr. Kamala Harris, who is, what's his name? Colbert, right?
No, that dude is, that was
Kimmel. That's right. Jimmy Kimmel. They're all the same to me. All those dudes look the same to me. Colbert, Kimmel's not as much of a jackwagon, so I give him a pass. That's his new best friend. Tim Walz is his new best friend. Meanwhile, they've lost hundreds of thousands of jobs and children, and they have no idea where any of them are. Think about this. They legit lost like hundreds of thousands of kids that they brought over the border. No idea where they went. Nobody's asking them. But hey, what is that? What do they keep talking about? That Project 25 or whatever it is? Yeah, they keep talking about that, but don't pay attention to the hundreds of thousands of missing kids. They also made up almost a million jobs that just like didn't even exist. They also made that up too. So they lost, what, 300,000 kids? Yeah. Almost 300,000 kids. And they made up about a million jobs to act like they created them. Out of the ether. They just pulled them out of the air. Made it up. And the media's like, but Trump. Or they're upset about J.D. Vance or something. I don't know. What did they get mad about? Oh, the Associated Press. We're going to talk about that. The Associated Press ran this story. It was really ridiculous. They had this story where, and they deleted it. So you're not, don't look for it because you're not going to find it because they took it off. They had a horrible misleading headline and story and tweet where they said that J.D. Vance says school shootings are a fact of life and calls for better security. Oh, when actually his direct quote was, quote, I don't like that this is a fact of life, is what he said.
That's different.
You do, however much you hate the legacy press, it is not enough. Amen. They did this on purpose. What, remember I told you, they live off of these headlines. Just saying. We got more on this coming up. Also, we'll be talking to my friend Andrew Branca about this charging of the parents in the Georgia case. And this is the second case now after the Crumley case in Michigan where we see this happening. We're going to talk to him about this. And does this mean that, you know, can we now start going after gangbangers' parents? Is that going to allow, is that, will that precedent establish maybe the pathway to do that? We got that and more coming up. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you haven't seen the P15 yet, you need to check it out. It is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. And that comes in two versions. You have the polymer version and then you have the metal version. The metal version is really cool. It's beautiful. You know, those walnut wood grip panels. And it's just, it's ideal for concealed carry from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And it's, you know, just game changing innovation from Kel-Tec. You have the tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got the fully adjustable 2-dot rear as well. It's super light and only 1.27 approximately inches wide. It's just awesome concealability, and you don't have to sacrifice stopping power at all. Check it out. It's the P15 only at KeltecWeapons.com. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
So look, you go off to Yale, you get a philosophy major, you write a best-selling book, trash the very people you grew up with. Just don't come back to Erie and tell us how to run our lives. Don't.
Is it going to come out that he like tried to go to Yale and was rejected or something? Because he is obsessed with just running down people and the upward economic mobility. He is just obsessed with trashing it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of the second hour. That was Tiananmen Tim Walz there, who's, I like that better. That's my favorite one. He's trashing again J.D. Vance for, and not really just J.D. Vance. I mean, I think anybody that fits the mold of upward mobility. I mean, he says that they're a sellout. You're a sellout if you work hard and you make it to where you can go to school and you're not saddling anyone else with your debt. You're a sellout.
Wow. They love changing definitions.
Yeah, they do. Democrats hate upward mobility. They hate it because they don't want you. We've talked about this before. They don't want you to believe that you can get anywhere without their help, because that means there's a limit to how much they can control you. And it also means that you're willing to ask questions and you're willing to work in your own best interest. And if you're acting in your own best interest, you're not acting in their best interest. See, they don't have your interests in mind. It's their interest. It's their agenda. They just pretend that they're one and the same with your best interest, and they're not. You know that's going to come out. That'll be the next thing. Tim Walz applied for Yale and was rejected. You know that's going to happen. I feel like that's like the latest in this. Good night. He's, I think this is part and parcel, this campaign. If it's not them hating upward mobility, they hate, I mean, they hate and call it joy. I keep hearing the joy thing. They keep, some of their surrogates on this morning were talking about it. Do you realize that this is basically the live, laugh, love campaign? She's a damn target sign. That's all it is. Live, laugh, love. It's the live, laugh, love campaign. Joy. Joy, love. Live, laugh, joy, love. Joy, live, laugh. Love. That's.
Those are all good things, though, right?
Sure. While they bend you over a barrel and rob you. Right. Live, laugh, love, joy. Live, laugh, love, joy. They keep pushing joy. I've never seen any. Nothing. Everybody that I know whose name is Joy is not. Well, with the exception of maybe one person. He writes over at the Federalist. But everybody else, they are joyless. Think about it. Joy Behar, that one chick that wears that Simple Jack wig on MSNBC. What's her face? Not Joy Behar. What is her? I don't even know what her. Can't remember. Simple Joy Jack Reed? Joy. Simple Joy.
Joyless Reed?
Is that? Which yeah.
One? Are you talking about Sunny?
No, the chick with the Simple Jack hair.
You're talking about the.
You know her. This is how Kane has to like try to detective the detective work Kane has to do. I'll be like, you know that person, and he's like, what?
Most that people chick. Named-
she looks like Simple Jack with her hair. It's like corn silk. You know what her name is? Her name is Joy something. When oh my gosh, don't tell me internet. Everyone's gonna. I'll be besieged by it.
I love all the people named Joy. It's kind of like how they name spending bills. It's exactly opposite.
Hurricanes.
Exactly opposite of what they actually are, right?
Well, and Biden admitted, speaking of that the other day, that the Inflation Reduction Act was not at all about inflation reduction. He did this. Audio soundbite one. Listen.
My investments, that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the, we should have named it what it was. But
That lame duck Biden is more honest than the regular Biden.
This turkey neck Biden, DGAF, man. Wow, we should have really named it what it was. That's an ad. Cut. Run. That's an ad. That is an ad. Wow, we should have named it what it was. We're going to throw all your money into the sun to placate the sun god. That's what it is. That's, you realize that climate change isn't that far off from just throwing people in volcanoes? Think of it. Like, we got to spend all this money on the weather. That's what we got to do. We're going to spend the money. We need your money. You're going to go and plant saplings for every mile that you undertake on a jet. No one does that. You all know that's a bunch of, that's so nonsense. It's the modern day indulgence is all it is. That's all it is, right? It's the modern day indulgence. We're just going to plant those saplings. Honestly, I'm angrier that I didn't get into that grift. I'm mad that it's a grift I should have gotten into. That going out there and selling them indulgences. Every mile you drive, we're going to plant this plant. Going to put a tree in the ground here. Look at that. We love the earth. Look at us hugging the earth. We love it. No, but it is not that much different from throwing virgins in volcanoes at this point. We got to fling some money into the sun, guys. That'll make the sun god less angry. He needs to nom some cash. He's got the munchies for some cash, and he needs the cash to make him not obliterate the planet with hotness. So can you guys send some funds his way? We've got to throw it into the magma.
It's convincing science.
Into the space magma.
So imagine flaunting the Inflation Reduction Act on Tuesday, which hasn't even reduced any food or energy costs.
Yeah, hasn't done any. It's the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, look how much it reduced. Well, it's got to go up a whole hell of a lot, and then it's going to come down at some point, maybe.
So frustrating. I can't believe I'm laughing.
Oh, you have to, because you'll throw yourself off your roof if you don't.
So frustrating.
We're just going to laugh our way off the edge of the roof. That's what we're doing. That's all we're doing right here. But it is true. I mean, everything is... I did every now and then I have to do, so I get my basic supplies at Costco, right? I have to do some things. I got to get some stuff at Costco. We've been going through paper towels like crazy lately because our dog, Wick, is insane. We love him. He's very smart. He's learning. He's a very smart pup. But he also is a very rebellious preteen, and he just doesn't care. Much like Biden with his turkey neck and his collar open. Doesn't care. But I went and I made this order at Costco, and it's one that I've made, it's like the same order because it's your basic mass quantities of goods that you know that you're going to go through and know that you're going to use, right? So you have like your paper towels, and I'm obsessed with buying, don't misunderstand this, like bleach products in bulk. I'm just like, why not? I can use it for so many things. There's so many activities I can use this for. Like, this is great, you know, murder amongst them. I'm kidding. But you know, you get it in and you get all your stuff. And there's other things that I get too. Like they have really good produce at Costco. Anyway, not a Costco commercial. But I've noticed, I have watched my bill go up over the course of the past couple of years, and it is almost double what it was. Just about double for the same little list of groceries that I have purchased over 2+ years, maybe with the addition of like here or there paper plates or something like that. Like, you know, every now and then, like, I'll have something, just like a little thing added onto it. It's almost double what it was. People are broke. And then to have him go out there, we should have called it what it was. Didn't actually reduce inflation. It didn't do anything like that at all. Had no impact. Well, now they're being honest about it. But we were called conspiracy theorists, though, when we said that. You know? We were called conspiracy theorists. Audio Soundbite 14, the debate this coming up week. You had over on NBC, what's her face, Nora O'Donnell. She was saying that Harris's team, they really wanted those muted mics, and here's why.
Of course, as you pointed out, these were rules that were originally agreed to when Joe Biden was intending to run and were used during the first debate from June 27th. And so to some degree, the Trump campaign, in just the simple art of negotiation, doesn't like to give up something it already had, while the Harris campaign really viewed this as a new opportunity with a new candidate to try to set up a dialogue and an interchange that would benefit the American people. And from their point of view, they think open mics work better. Oh,
so they felt open mics, they wanted a dialogue and an interview. What? She just wanted a moment. She just wanted a moment to be able to say he interrupted me or something to that effect. That's all she wanted. That's the only reason why they wanted that. So she doesn't get to have her little sit down with her notepad. I don't think they can bring note. What do they get, like a piece of paper or something to that effect? I don't think they get to bring like a notepad or something like that up, right? I don't think so. Yeah. So she's got to stand there and be quick-witted. We're going to have so many sound bites from this. It's going to be insane. But it's true. And this is what Vance alluded to when he was addressing this with the muted mics in the debate. Listen.
15. Over the last few weeks, Kamala Harris has been trying to change the rules on the debate. She wants to change everything because she knows that unless she gets the rules that she wants, unless she has a bias set up, the American people are going to reject her. But you know what she really wants to do? And look out for this on September the 10th. She really wants a moment where she can interrupt Donald Trump and say, I'm speaking. Because...
that's exactly what she wants. She wants that. She wants to be able to interrupt and say, I'm speaking. You're going to be, oh, girl power. Ah. That's lame when you are trying to orchestrate your big campaign moment, not about wowing the public with policy solutions, practical solutions, but engaging in rhetorical just pettiness. That's so lame, but that's all they have. That's all they have. And meanwhile, people were hemorrhaging jobs, so they're making it up. They've lost hundreds of thousands of kids at the border. Just a nightmare. Coming up after headlines, Andrew Branca is going to be joining me because this case in Georgia, the dad, the killer's father, was charged. And I'm wondering, well, I guess the mom was in and out of prison, so that alone may have her escape a charge on this. But this gets into kind of that crumbly precedent coming out of Michigan, that case where the parents were charged after that teenager went and murdered people. So is this going to be something that could it be used against gangbanger parents? Does it not extend that far, the consistency? I'm just curious. We're going to talk to Andrew Branca about that. If you're swamped by back taxes or unfiled returns, Tax Network USA is here to help. You don't have to face them alone. And the IRS can be relentless. I mean, they want your money. It's not their money. It's your money. They send out all these pay up notices and people are struggling. I mean, you know, the economy's not so great, so this doesn't help. Tax Network USA has proven success. They have a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They have expertise and they are incredibly reliable when it comes to getting these successes and tax relief. They're skilled professionals. They can get you the best possible resolution. Doesn't matter whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million. And regardless if it's for personal or business, they have the tools and experience to handle any situation. Let Tax Network USA help you resolve your tax burdens effectively with tailored solutions. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana and work with a company that you can trust. They can help resolve your burdens, your tax burdens, once and for all. TNUSA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Rome, they're trying to figure out how to manage the crowds around the famous Trevi Fountain, which is kind of in the heart of the city. The Eternal City is considering charging people €2, which is like $2.25 a ticket, to access this open-air fountain. So if you get on one of the 9 steps that leads to the edge of the fountain, they would charge you. In Romans, for Romans, it's free. But they said that they were trying to figure out how to do it because people are there always feeding pigeons, which you're not supposed to do because the pigeon excrement actually is super damaging to all the stonework that make all the monuments and all this stuff. And they don't want people jumping in the stupid fountain. They don't want people jumping in the fountain. It's so dumb. They have people that try to recreate that La Dolce Vita, Fellini's La Dolce Vita, by jumping in the Trevi Fountain. You can't do that. That's a fine. And a lot of people, sometimes they try to climb on it and they actually will damage the marble and the stone that's around it. So they're trying to figure out how to better manage it. But I think that might be a little difficult too, because it's a pretty big area, and that's a pretty big area unless they're going to enclose it. I don't know how they're going to charge people as they go up to those steps, but very interesting nonetheless. Also, DirecTV's dispute might prevent millions of people from watching next week's debate. Subscribers to DirecTV, they may not actually be able to see it. They said that more than 11 million subscribers nationwide saw their ABC channel go dark on September 1st because Walt Disney and DirecTV are in a carriage dispute. This is the carriage dispute that Newsmax was saying was costing it its First Amendment right. And I'm like, it's literally a contract dispute. Why are you, stop it. It's not a First Amendment thing. This is exactly what this is. It's a carriage dispute. They said that their contract expired on September 1st. They're going back and forth over prices and all this stuff. And apparently they don't have any other negotiations underway, a source told one of the outlets. And so ABC, they are hosting that one and only debate. ABC's Disney owned, so they may not carry it. So we'll see. You may have to watch C-SPAN or something. Maybe.
I think Democrats are okay with that.
Yeah, I think Democrats are totally fine. A water buffalo became a local celebrity because it escaped slaughter. Aw, I want a water buffalo pet. It's in Iowa. It's a folk hero type figure now. The animal was also shot by police. Residents in Pleasant Hill, Iowa, first spotted the water buffalo in the middle of the road. You know, they're kind of unusual in the area, so it was a little weird. And they said they started tracking it. They named him Phil. After their city, Pleasant Hill. And police were alerted to it. They said at first he was aggressive and dangerous. They didn't want him to cause a car accident, public safety, so on and so forth. They shot him in the belly, but he was wounded, but he, you know, still was able to evade. And then now he's kind of a folk hero. He seems meek, not violent, and they're taking care of him. And I guess they rehabilitated him, and now he's like a town hero. Isn't that nice? I want a pet water buffalo now. Parkinson's may begin in the gut, says a study, adding to growing evidence about where a lot of these diseases originate. Gastrointestinal problems. They talk about how it's common in patients that have neurodegenerative disorders to the point where it's called institutional colon. Lots of colon stuff, right? I'm telling you, Parkinson's, all kinds of stuff. The entire gastrointestinal tract is affected, apparently, in Parkinson's. And so now they're looking at gut issues and trying to figure out how they can anticipate and get ahead of some of this stuff. Kane just made the big probiotics. Super happy, didn't you? My friend Andrew Branca, next on the dad of the Georgia killer, is arrested. Are we going to be able to go after gangbanger parents? Stick with us. Hillsdale College. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Hillsdale exists to provide the exact type of education that is desperately needed to preserve this republic. Stupidity doesn't preserve anything. Education does. And they're defending liberty on the battlefield of education. You don't have to be at their campus in Southern Michigan, though, in order to take advantage of everything that they have to offer, all of their amazing resources. They have fantastic learning opportunities just at their website, yet you can access all free Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. One of those is their Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Now, what this is it is deep dives, storytelling. It breaks down historical issues and Christian apology and all amazing topics that are presented in a brilliant way with visiting authors and lecturers and even their own president, Larry Arn from Hillsdale. They've got over 2 million downloads. It's one of the many ways that the good people at Hillsdale are defending liberty and making you a part of it as well. And you can take advantage of all of this. It's all free for you. They were founded in 1844. They've been doing this for a long time. They know the kind of education needed to preserve our liberties. So choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, accessible at danafor.hillsdale.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
GBI has arrested Colin Gray, age 54, in connection to the shooting here at Appalachie High School. Colin is Colt Gray's father that was arrested yesterday. He is charged with the following: 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. Mr. Gray, these charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
So a lot of developments just in the past 24 hours in this case, this horrible tragedy coming out of Georgia involving this 14-year-old who killed 4 individuals, 2 students, 2 adults there in Barrow County, Georgia. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the second hour. It's something we've talked about, just the latest developments, quite a bit. And then this charge came out last night against the dad. And you heard law enforcement there detailing some of this. A lot of this is being compared to the Crumley case in Michigan, where that killer's parents were just convicted, I believe, last April for essentially culpability in the murder of other innocents by their son. And I know that there are, on its face, it looks like there's some similarities in these cases. I think that there are some big differences, obviously, in these cases. But it does bring up a very compelling question. Should parents of these minors who are murderers, are they liable? I know there are negligence laws and things like that that come into play, but there have been a lot of criticisms about the Crumley case and the way that the prosecution argued that. And so I wanted to talk to a legal expert about this, our friend Andrew Branca, who you can find on X at Law of Self-Defense. He is a self-defense attorney and a legal expert, lawofselfdefense.com. Andrew, I really appreciate you joining us on this. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the charges for the dad. A lot of people are comparing it to the Crumley case. I know I've read a lot of criticism of the way that case was prosecuted. Is this the new precedent? Are we charging parents? And is that, in this particular case, the right legal pathway?
Well, so parents are not automatically criminally responsible for everything their kids do. That's not the way the law works. The parent has to have some independent criminal culpability in order to be held criminally liable. And it's not hard to imagine how that could occur, right? Imagine you have a teenage son and you're sitting with your son and you're both getting drunk at the kitchen table. And he says he wants to drive to go see his girlfriend. And you say, here are the car keys. Go ahead, son. I know you're drunk, but you go ahead and drive the car. And then he runs somebody over and kills him. You would have culpability there. You know he's intoxicated. You know he shouldn't be driving. You're facilitating his ability to do that. I think we would all agree the parent there would bear some criminal responsibility. That's different than if the kid just sneaks around and grabs the key and the parent doesn't know, right? Those are two different fact situations. In these cases, we're talking about allegations where the parent is claimed to know the child is violently unstable and provides that child with a gun, and then the child uses that gun to kill people. That's the parallel there to the affirmatively allowing the kid to drive drunk. Now, I know why people in the Second Amendment community, gun owners, are very sensitive about this, because we know the gun controllers will come up with any scheme they can imagine, whether based on legal merit or not, to punish gun owners. So we want to be very sensitive. We're not falling into a trap being laid by the gun control community. But the fact is, it's possible for a parent to be engaged in reckless culpability, knowing culpability for misconduct they have reason to believe their kid is going to engage in, and then providing the kid with the tools to do that. Mm-hmm. So the involuntary manslaughter charges here, if the facts support it, you know, the prosecution has to prove these facts beyond a reasonable doubt. The involuntary manslaughter charges don't really surprise me if the father actually provided a son he knew to be dangerously unstable with the gun he used to commit those killings.
Is that a tough thing to prove if you're the prosecution and you're looking at whether or not this parental carelessness is meeting the litmus test for criminal negligence? I mean, that there has to, I mean, they really, that seems like a tough thing to prove if you're the state.
I mean, it depends on the facts, right? So if the parent knows the kid is dangerous, but he's keeping his guns locked in a real safe, and the kid had to cut open the safe with a torch to get to the guns, well, the father took reasonable steps there to ensure the kid couldn't take the gun. You can't stop everything.
Right.
But on the other hand, if the father said, hey, kid, I know you're mentally unstable, but here's an AR rifle you get to keep under your bed unsupervised, well, that's a different fact pattern.
Yeah.
And so it depends on how the facts develop. It need not be a super complicated case for the prosecution.
Yeah, true. We're talking with Andrew Branca. I keep wanting to say the wrong vowel for your name. Andrew Branca.
Either is fine.
I know. You know, my last name, I feel your pain, my friend. I get it all the time. Who is a self-defense attorney and expert in this field. This, because I know in the Crumley case, the prosecution had to prove whether or not the mom knew. The parents were right. Aware that the son had this, I guess, murderous predisposition or this intent or inclination to go out and murder people. And that's what they're going to have to, because I understand the involuntary manslaughter charge, but did the dad, I mean, was he aware that his son had murderous tendencies? I mean, that's something they're going to have to explore.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I had my first rifle when I was 9 years old, and I could just take it into the woods and shoot it whenever I wanted, and I didn't kill anybody. So if the child's not inherently dangerous, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with a child having access to a firearm. The key has to be, you know, there's something wrong with your kid. Unfortunately, we live in an era where there appears to be a lot more unstable kids out there for whatever reasons. I'm not a doctor, but we didn't have school shootings like this when I was a kid, and we all had unfettered access to firearms.
Yeah.
Our dad's gun cabinets were just cabinets, like a china cabinet, where you with glass so you could admire the firearms from a distance, and anybody could open them up. And the ammo was right there in the drawer. We all had unfettered access to guns. None of us did this. But in this day and age, if you know your child's mentally unstable, it's only the responsible thing to do to make sure they don't have access to firearms.
Yeah. And then it comes, there's the question of a local law enforcement had visited the house, I guess, what, a year prior, because the kid was accused of making death threats on Discord, but they couldn't, I guess, determine that it was, you know, absolutely him, and the dad was defending him. And then after that, he gets his son this rifle. I mean, if you're law enforcement and someone's making those death threats like that, like, where is the line? Someone's making death threats. They're saying, I'm going to go to my school. I'm going to shoot up my school. I'm going to murder these people. I mean, with some degree of specificity. And I realize that, you know, we have the whole fighting words and all of that, and some speech is protected, some isn't. But at some point, you know, at least at the very least, you're the parent. You have to intervene if law enforcement can't. But when the parents don't intervene, what is law enforcement left to do?
Yeah. And my understanding, too, is that this was a single parent household. So we have that level of instability there as well. In a sane world, short of course, if there's probable cause for a crime being committed or threatened, there's things law enforcement can do. But short of that, we don't institutionalize people anymore against their will, no matter how dangerous they present themselves to the public. Just walk through any major urban center and you'll see tons of people who probably ought not be walking around publicly in the streets because they're dangerous to themselves and they're dangerous to others. But it's been decades since society's been willing to institutionalize people like that for their own benefit, as well as the benefit of society. And this is partly the result that we get now.
So what is the application of this? I don't know if I want to say that it's a precedent, if I want to describe it like that, or if it's just, you know, you're applying criminal negligence laws and, you know, the penalty of that if the facts will out. But is right. there, because I had a listener that made the comment, does this mean that we can start going after gangbanger parents, you know, to make it consistent? And it's not, I mean, I understand their point. It's not a bad point, but you still, again, have to prove that culpability and that, I guess, facilitation, if that's the correct way to describe it.
Yeah. And so in theory, you could. I mean, if those parents are providing their kids with the guns, then they know their guns commit violent crimes. Their children commit violent crimes when they have those guns in their possession. Sure, it's the same theory of recklessness. The somewhat surprising charge here is not actually the involuntary manslaughter one, but the murder one. because the murder charges are predicated on that charge of child cruelty. You saw there were
right.
multiple charges of child cruelty. One of the ways, and I'm not sure I've seen this in other states, in Georgia, to get to second-degree murder is when a death occurs in the course of cruelty to children. And when I look at the statute, it looks like the way it's supposed to apply is someone's beating their child and the child dies of the beating. They didn't intend to kill the child, but they're going to make it more than manslaughter because it was a child that you were killing. They're going to make it second-degree murder. It looks like they're trying to get to second-degree murder for the father by arguing that he facilitated, it looks like, the child cruelty to the children in the school, not to his own son.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that, I think, is going to be a more difficult, a more kind of precedent-setting argument for the prosecution to make in this case. That I haven't seen before.
It seems, I wonder if they're kind of over their skis a little bit on that, because isn't that sort of the way it works when you're going into trial? You don't want to bite off more than you can chew so that you do at least get some kind of conviction if you're the prosecution.
Maybe by the time they get to trial, but in this kind of horrific case, and let's say it up front, obviously the school shooting is an absolutely right. horrific case. The people who died are completely innocent victims of a monster who walked amongst them. The prosecutor has every incentive to go over their skis here. I mean, this is for legal and political purposes. This is something they'll be inclined to want to do. It'll be up to a court to check them if a judge wants to check them and not allow them to proceed with this legal theory.
Last question for you. Do you think that this we're going to start seeing? I mean, heaven forbid, I don't want to see more of these tragedies. No one does. But we do, unfortunately, live in a culture that, you know, law and order has broken down and we just, you know, people are just horrible to each other by and large anymore. Is this going to be the new normal in terms of going after and maybe looking at the either activity of the parent, the involvement of the parent, and whether or not they are culpable in these cases? Do you foresee more of this?
I would expect every prosecutor moving forward, even from Crumbly, when a young person in the custody of a parent commits a violent crime, especially a high-profile violent crime like this with a gun, they are absolutely, first thing they'll do is look and see, did that kid get the gun by the willing provision of the parent? And if they did, the parent's very likely to be criminally charged.
Wow. This is such a sad case. I would imagine they're going to get a conviction, at least on one of these charges with his father, for sure. It's just, I mean, it's a sad case. It was preventable. Andrew Branca, always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for your expertise. And you can find him at lawofselfdefense.com. Thank you. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour and head towards Florida Man. And as we do so, couldn't do it without our partners that help bring you free radio. One of those is Burn a Gun. Now, it sounds kind of interesting because it's a non-firearm firearm. I'm always going to tell you to carry. I always carry myself. There are instances, and I don't have the luxury of saying no all of the time because it's work or it's part of my job, where I have to go to a gun-free zone and I don't like being left defenseless. You know, if I can't take a blade or can't take anything else, I want to be able to defend myself, because it always seems like they're in cities, right? When you have to go to a gun-free zone, it always seems like it's in a city somewhere. I have a friend who lives and works in DC, and the nature of her work means that she works in media. She chases stories, and she's an investigative reporter. And so many times she's in at like 11 o'clock at night in downtown D.C. That's not a safe place to be. And even if you have a CHL, doesn't mean you can always carry everywhere. So she got a Burn a Gun. And I have a lot of friends who started doing this just as a way to diversify their options. It's not replacing their carry. It's for those instances where the state doesn't want you to be able to protect yourself, really. The Burn a Gun is a non-firearm firearm. But it is a diverse option, a way to diversify your self-defense options. So the most popular model is the Byrna SD. And that's what everybody that I know has gotten a Byrna gun. They got the Byrna SD. The Byrna SD has a 5-round capacity and shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats. Now, when you compare it to just a regular stun gun, those are just limited to like one or two shots. The Byrna has 5 rounds and there's no background check. There's no waiting period. I mean, they ship it right to your door. And it's practical in those areas where you are prevented from being armed, prevented from carry. So it's always important to have diverse options. You would rather have more choices and not fewer. To learn more about the Byrna gun, BYRNA, visit Byrna, BYRNA, Byrna.com/Dana, and get 10% off your purchase. Check out the other models, the other projectiles and accessories at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, the police provide a service of assisting and protecting, but they do not provide this type of service. No, sir, they do not. So this is Florida Man, Timothy Gunter. He was arrested last week in Lake County. He had called the police because he needed them to test his bad drugs. Please test my bad drugs, after he burglarized a home over barking dogs. The 34-year-old was booked into Lake County Jail, charged as a burglary and meth possession. The deputy was patrolling in the Paisley area. He was flagged down by the burglar. This guy looks like he's on meth. Look at the, Juan's showing you if you're watching the simulcast. This dude looks like a tweaker. Looks exactly like you think a tweaker would look, and his eyes are way close together. But the burglary victim flagged down the deputy, led him to his house, and he said that Gunter randomly uttered that he had just received some bad drugs. And he said he asked the deputy to test him because he thinks there's something wrong with his meth. So he said he broke into the victim's house because he could hear dogs barking inside. He is being held in jail on an $18,000 bond. That's not what you ask the police to do. They don't. It's not.
That's what they did.
You don't be like, can you come check my bag drugs? Yeah. So this Florida man, he complimented this other. I mean, sometimes you see a nice car out and about, right? And in Winter Haven, this driver complimented another driver's car, and the driver whose car he complimented punched him promptly in the face. It's all on, dude, who is the, well, at least the guy doesn't skip leg day. I will say, the guy who, isn't the guy who did the punching the one who doesn't skip leg day, apparently. John Sturgeon is the one who stopped his vehicle, approached the driver, and punched him in the face. And the victim said that he had waved his hand and told Sturgeon that he had a nice car. And I guess the guy thought it was a road rage thing. What? Okay, Juan, I need you to roll that video back. That guy toddler stomps to his car. He is so roided out. He has to stomp like a toddler. Otherwise, he'll start a fire with his thighs. Let's just pull it back. That's crazy. That's crazy. So he had told the deputies, he'd waved his hand and said that he was telling them he had a nice car. Did Sturgeon think? Apparently, Sturgeon thought he was flipping him off. Because the victim is even literally on video. And the guy, the victim has a Dodge Charger. And he's saying, I'm trying to tell you, nice car, bro. I like your car. And then Sturgeon comes out in his red tank top and his gray shorts. And he, you know, punches him. I guess he mistook it as an insult. So they're trying to, he wasn't there when deputies went to his house. So they're trying to find him. Why in the world I got to have him walking, though? I didn't mean to, like, throw that up on you, Juan, but this guy toddler stomping back to his car is amazing.
Here it is.
Now here he's like, roar, 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 roar. And he's got all this. He's roided out. You know he is. Look, he can't even walk. He didn't put his damn arms down. He walks like a giant baby.
Like a statue.
Yeah. But it's like he was trying to, the guy was telling him you got a nice car, and he got offended. So don't, you can't even compliment people anymore. Everybody's offended. And a Florida man wearing an ankle monitor kidnaps or attempts a kidnapping in a Walmart parking lot. It's always a Walmart parking lot. Orlando, Florida. Police were called after a reference to an armed robbery and possible kidnapping. Juan Perez, 54, is the culprit. He approached the victim after pacing the parking lot. He forced her into her trunk, took out a knife, held it to her throat. And the victim tried to fight back. And she was able... He threatened to cut her throat if she persisted. He fled after a good guy intervened. And then the witness said that she witnessed Perez trying to shove the victim in the trunk and her legs were flailing up. So the guy's arrested. His court date is September 10th. So they got the bad guy off the streets. Jeez. Stick with us. Third hour next. Folks who help bring you free radio, Black Rifle Coffee. Great coffee. The only coffee I drink. Everything else is garbage. It is. I just won't have coffee if I don't have it. And I'll sit and suffer, and so will everyone else with me. But whether you're restocking your own coffee or if you want a gift for someone who really likes coffee, they have this variety sampler that you can try. It's their Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. And no, you do not get a discount if you can repeat the whole name, but you can save 20% with code Dana. It's the complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler. It's all of the classic Black Rifle coffee blends. So you can get 4-ounce bags of the Silencer Smooth, AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black, and Just Black. Every flavor is amazing. Now, this is ground. You can still get bags of beans and all that other stuff, but this is the ground, so you can try it, you know, see if you like it, you know, get this variety pack, and it comes in a cool blue box, so it's a great gift for somebody who loves coffee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run company, everything that they do, from the roast to the bag art, plays homage to American culture and military history, and you've got whole bean K-cups ready to drink. You also can find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Join that coffee club, have your coffee delivered, free shipping to your porch, frequency of shipment and type of roast is up to you. So experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler today and get 20% off using code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Well, and I think that's one reason why he's being charged here. It's also worth mentioning, I mean, at this point, we almost take it for granted. Assault weapons don't have to be legal. Assault weapons like this were illegal in this country from 1994 to 2004.
Gosh.
Bill Clinton signed the assault weapons ban, but it only lasted for 10 years. There have been many efforts to make assault weapons illegal, which would limit this problem considerably.
My biggest regret right now is that I can't play Billy Squire's Stroke as a way to introduce Jeffrey Toobin and his stupid moronic soundbite here. You know, we don't go to the whorehouse and knock stuff out of his hand. So why does he have to come up into our business and sit here and try to malign our rights and misrepresent what we can and can't do? Does that mean? Yeah. No, I'm not getting into the, don't do the divinals that way. Don't do them that way, Kane. Welcome back. It's top of the third hour. We just get less and less of a filter as we roll towards the conclusion of this week. That's the guy who got in trouble on CNN because he, I just want to remind everyone, that man right there, Jeffrey Toobin that you just heard, because he legit put on a one-man, one-hand show, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Lord. You know that phrase? I just vomited a little bit in my mouth. I want to vomit a lot in everybody's mouth whenever I hear the story. It's that bad.
That phrase never made sense.
It's just funny because it's reversed. See, it's maybe only to me. Anyway, welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. That's how we're starting. Yeah, he's like, we don't really need assault. Well, we don't really need you. You knocked up your best friend's daughter and tried to bully her into getting an abortion. You're a freak. Don't talk. Big giant pervert. Nobody wants to hear you. No one wants to hear this talk. No one wants to hear him. Well, they don't have to be legal. And you don't have to be on Earth. But yet here you are. Ta-da! The more you know, shooting star. That's it. Good. What are you typing over there? He's laughing himself silly and typing.
It's not for air, so just keep going.
Well, then why'd you put it in Slack, King?
Because it's not for air. That's why.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's Jeffrey McToobin myself on... Was he on Skype? He was on Skype. He was literally on a Skype call.
Zoom or Skype?
And he was on with his colleagues. And he just, I don't know, like, couldn't wait to turn the camera off, forgot to turn the camera off, and then, you know, did that.
Erection.
Thank you. And I don't even know how that happens. I don't. And then all, like, his colleagues were horrified. They were horrified at what was happening. Golly. And I just don't understand the mind of someone who does something like that with their colleagues and then dresses up in a suit and then goes on set and talks like that. I'm a normal human. That never happened. How do you not? Is that just a lack of self-awareness or what?
Wasn't it Allison Camerota that had to do the first interview of him when he came back?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so awkward.
Yeah.
People need to look that up.
I don't know. I can't imagine. I just don't. I mean, he was gone 8 months. He was on Zoom and they're like, oh, he exposed himself on Zoom. Oh, wait. Hey, y'all, is that all he did? Because it seems like there were a lot more activities that happened with that. Oh, my gosh.
Need more verbs to be accurate.
And then he said that he spent 8 months off air trying to be a better person. And he went and worked at a food bank.
So it didn't work? Okay.
Because apparently working at a food bank means you're not going to tug it on a Zoom call in front of your colleagues, I guess. That alleviates that fetish, I guess. I don't know. Good heavens. Yeah, he said, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was... I'm going to come back to the crux of this, like the whole reason why we're here, but can I just indulge me for a minute? He said, I believed a stupid mistake. I thought I was... I made a stupid mistake. I believed I was off camera. You couldn't even wait a beat? He just immediately went to town. He couldn't even wait a second? Like, what is the matter? What was happening? I don't want to know, but what was happening in his head? He's talking to his colleagues, and he's like, can't wait to get off here and go to town. Like, I don't, like, how? That is so weird. It's weird. And you guys, there's no rehabilitating this dude for me. None. But he's like, assault weapons don't have to be legal. I am not going to be lectured to about what I am allowed to carry as a woman by a guy who got in trouble with his work because he tugged it on a Zoom call. Not going to happen. Keep your meat to yourself. There you go. All right. Speaking of freaks, so now the latest from this murderer in Georgia. There was the story of how he apparently, they were saying, he was being bullied because, he was gay. Well, apparently it comes out that he was trans Tifa. That's what it's looking like. There's a lot of reports now coming out about this killer where he apparently, and CNN glosses over it. So CNN has this story and they said that he referenced Parkland. This is why I talk about the copycat killings, that how it is a real thing. And it's something that the Parkland murderer also touched on. The 14-year-old referenced Parkland in his writings. And the other thing that he said as well, and this is buried at the very, like, way, way, way down at the bottom. It said he had one of his writings. He referenced the Sandy Hook killer and in separate posts shared a desire to target an elementary school and expressed frustration with the acceptance of transgender people. And he's been on the radar of the FBI again for a year. And he apparently had some, his writings and his the stuff that now is coming out that CNN is even coming out with. It looks like it's some trans Tifa stuff. Notice how they just bury that down at the very end of the piece. Oh, and the acceptance of transgender. So he was so mad about transgender people that he wanted to shoot up an elementary school. This radical gender ideology is getting people killed. It's getting people killed. And instead of focusing on that, people are like, he was on Discord, which is where gamers go. Guess we should target games. And this is right after, as Kane noted, and Lorraine has a post up about this over at Substack, chapter and verse, right after the Nashville murderer, their diary that they had, this diary that she wrote, they called it a manifesto, but it's really one of a whole bunch of diaries where she talked about transgenderism. And you could see, A, she was mentally ill, but B, she was also encouraged to violence because of radical trans ideology. And now it looks like we have another one of these instances. So maybe instead of talking about video games, maybe instead focus on this right here. We were talking on break too about some of the video game stuff, because it is absolutely a hill I will fight on, where there have been people even on the right who say, it is, it's video games. That's a contributing factor. It's not. It is not a contributing factor. And anyone who says that doesn't play. That is repurposing anti-gun arguments and targeting inanimate objects and using that as a scapegoat for voluntary human behavior that's evil. And I just think it does a huge, it's disingenuous, and it's just really bad to appropriate an anti-gun argument. And some people had said, well, it's desensitizing. It desensitizes people from violence. Nobody who has ever played a video game and has ever fired a gun would ever in a million years think that they are in any way remotely the same, or that one in any way prepares. I mean, last night I was playing Space Marine 2, which is the latest. It was the early access for Warhammer 40K, which Kane won't play. And it was the early access for gameplay. And I'm shooting giant bugs. I'm not going to be going out and shooting giant cockroaches in real life and fighting Tyranids. Okay, it's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. And I'm also not 80,000 million feet tall in this, as you know, as a space marine. It's has nothing to do. It's not any more culpable than watching a violent movie or television or listening to aggressive music or anything of that nature. People have got to stop excusing the willful evil choices by blaming inanimate objects or something like a video game or a book or something else. That is an anti-gun argument. But it's, and you could more easily argue that current culture, with its disregard for life and law and order, is a contributing factor. Now, that would be accurate and agreeable. That is a correct way to state it. I had people who were yelling at me yesterday saying that it's a contributing factor. You know, you're an idiot. I can't believe you can say that. And I would ask people, what games do you play or have any familiarity with at all whatsoever that will induce me to believe that you are remotely qualified to lecture me about this issue? And then I don't really hear anything. I mean, I've hunted, I've shot guns, I've blown stuff up, I've played video games. They're not even remotely the same. And I've played first-person shooter, I've played horror games. I have played video games my entire life, casually. I don't call myself a gamer. I just play casually. I enjoy it. I like the hand-eye coordination. It's fun. And it's social. People sit here and go, they also say, well, it's isolating. Again, people who never play will say stuff like that. People who have no concept of games will say things like that. Honestly, it was a saving grace during lockdown because my kids were able to still socialize with their friends through gaming. I mean, we can game as a family and we can get together with our friends and do stuff. I mean, it's like people who say it's social, don't play. These people don't play. Why in the hell? Your opinions don't matter. That's like Joe Biden sitting here lecturing me about guns. Stop. But what gets me is that people think that they're culpable. It's parenting. Stop letting crappy parents off the hook. Stop blaming guns. Stop blaming games. Stop blaming books. Stop blaming movies. Stop blaming television. Stop it. It all starts in the home. Don't use anti-gunner arguments against your side. It starts in the home. This dad was abusive. The mom is just a piece of garbage, apparently. Both of them are. He won the garbage parent lottery. I mean, I don't know. It's sad. And here's the other point that I think is incredibly important and I don't want to get overlooked. Because everyone's talking about his upbringing and he had garbage parents and all this other stuff. Not everyone who comes from a broken home and has abusive parents or an abusive parent grows up to be a murderer. Don't stigmatize kids who come from those backgrounds, because you might be talking to one of them.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
California lawmakers want your car to warn you that you're speeding because they think you're a moron. The next thing is they're going to vote that you're too stupid to drive a car. That's what's going to happen. They had, of course, the guy's name is Scott Wiener. He is the California State Senator, Senator Wiener, who introduced the bill to limit speeding earlier this year. Some would say that I'm not going to make this joke on air. I'm not going to read his quote either because it is so Freudian. Okay, we're done with the story. What is happening? This is all nonsense. Also, let's see here. We got a few other things to touch on. Let me open this up. Everything's frozen. So, yeah, I know. It's just because it's, why wouldn't it? Ooh, flamethrower. Where's the flamethrower one? This, a man sparks terror response in a Vegas strip resort with a flamethrower device. Okay, so what does that mean, flamethrower device? Because I feel like people will say things are that, and it's not really that. This guy, 26 years old, he's getting charged with assault with a deadly weapon. He used a homemade flamethrower device. What does that look like? To trigger the sprinkler system in a building that then triggered a counterterrorism response, apparently. The 26-year-old who... Are those tattoos or is that dirt? I can't tell. They said that it was at the Fontainebleau in Las Vegas. They called 911 and they had maintenance workers, everybody else come out. When they approached this guy in the stairwell, he lit an unknown liquid through a hose towards them. And then there was a device in his backpack, and it was flammable liquid connected with a 3-foot-long metal hose. And that's how... some people just want to watch the world burn. I feel like that was this guy. Here, you know, no real. This man chugged 24 ounces of ranch in 13 seconds and won a contest, but he'll be forever gross to his wife. He said his wife thought it was disgusting. Yeah, I would agree. Why would you do that? Why do you need to participate in a contest where you're chugging like a gallon of ranch? It's disgusting. Stick with us.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
At the suggestion of Elon Musk, who has given me his complete and total endorsement, that's nice, smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It's very, very much appreciated. I will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial and performance audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms. We need to do it.
So I don't oppose that on its face, but I got some questions. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour, on this Friday. And here's why. I am so allergic to anything that sounds like an expansion of government that when I hear something that sounds remotely like an expansion of government, even if it's for the purpose of then reducing it, I get real weird about it because I feel like the government's too big, right? There's too much stuff. There's too many agencies. There's this, there's that. So Musk proposed this and said he wouldn't take a salary. I mean, not that he wouldn't need one. He said that he wouldn't take a salary from it. And he had said that this was all about, cutting government. And Musk had said, I am willing to serve. He wouldn't take a salary, but wouldn't you need people to facilitate this stuff to do it? If you're having a commission on government efficiency and it would audit agencies, are people... it's not Elon Musk that's going to be auditing all of these agencies, right? It's other people that are going to be auditing the agencies. And are they going to do it for free? Or is that going to require taxpayer dollars to pay them to do it? Which then, when I look at it that way, it kind of sounds like screwing for chastity. I just don't know how workable this is. It just seems antithetical to create more government, to reduce government. When that dude down in, what's his face? Millet, he cut everything. He was like, I don't need to create a commission. Whoopity-doo, it's done. He just cut it. Javier Millet, he just cut it. Kane, I think, disagrees with me. What? Do you disagree with me on that? Doesn't it kind of...
No, like I agree with you with all of what you're saying. No one likes more government here, but I'm okay with Trump, who, by the way, isn't a lifelong politician, who comes in, sees the issue of government not being audited in places it should be. He then taps the shoulder of someone else who also isn't in government, in the private sector mainly, and asks his opinion on a commission to help cut what essentially the government has been avoiding, which are these audits
right.
in all these different departments.
Well, so, who does the work of the auditing?
What do you mean?
Like, well, somebody actually has to audit them and go through
the books.
I think
it's the department heads of each one of those agencies they're considering cutting. Those department heads have to provide the data and prove their case that they need either more or less or what are they operating on. It's a true audit. So it would have to, the data would have to come from the department heads of those agencies.
Let me counter that idea.
All right.
Why don't we just get rid of all those departments?
That's what I'm saying. But imagine being, so imagine what the media would do to somebody like that when, but if you have,
look at what they're doing and he's not doing
but
it.
What he's doing is he's spreading the liability out by having this commission. He's saying, all right, we're gonna have more heads. It's not just me that's just deciding, you know, at the whim of myself to get rid of these agencies. He's avoiding that narrative in the media by spreading out that liability to a commission. I think it makes great sense. But I also agree that I don't want more government, even if it's to create less government. But in this instance, I think it makes complete sense. You're bringing a guy in who's had a massive amount of success in the private sector, and he's great.
Well, I don't argue that. Yeah, and I like the idea of examining how agencies are spending money and eliminating nonsensical spending. I just think if you have to, I just think everything needs to be cut out like a radical surgery to nothing but Article 1, Section 8.
That would be so great.
Nobody's got the balls to do it, though.
Singing my favorite song over there.
This Javier Milei guy is like the only one who came in. I mean, you know, he just doesn't care. That dude doesn't care. He's got a pretty wife and a crazy hairdo. He doesn't care. Guys like that don't care. He just went and was like, I don't care. I'm cutting everything.
But I understand why he would want to spread the liability out over this commission, because the media already wants to paint him as some
they're
guy
gonna
that's,
do it regardless.
That's a dictator.
I just feel they're going to do it regardless.
Want the dictator label to be what drives the decisions on which agencies to cut and how much.
He doesn't have to. If he were to be reelected, he wouldn't have to worry about it again. So I feel like he could just do whatever he wants.
I agree with you there, but
I don't think it. I think it's a sign of fear to not do it.
But it damages down ticket. You can't allow
these people
that.
Need to ball up and fight.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's.
I'm tired of us having to deal with the consequence of them not wanting to fight.
Yeah, and it's a shame that the media is actually, instead of watchdogs for the American people, they're lapdogs.
Anything less than Article 1, Section 8 is cowardice.
Yes. But our media would never go out there. You think
they're not
going
to allow it
there?
Now, though. Literally, AP made up a whole quote and attributed it to J.D. Vance. And Kamala Harris ran with it. And Tiananmen Tim ran with it. They all ran with it. They made up a quote and everyone ran with it. And then they quietly, very surreptitiously deleted it later. That's all.
Yeah.
They don't care. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. They're going to make up something. If there's nothing in there to support their narrative, they'll create
it. That's true. But he doesn't want to destroy. The media has the power to destroy.
That's a gift, though.
What's a gift?
The fact that they'll just make it up. Then you can just do whatever you want if they're going to make it up anyway.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There's too many people that believe that stupid narrative from. It hurts down ticket in every state. You can't do that. You can't be the dictator the media is claiming that you
wait
are.
Wait a minute. How is that being a dictator?
By just going in by yourself.
Big government.
I'm talking about the narrative the media will run with. I'm not talking about the actual definition of it. This is the narrative the media will run with, and he's spreading that liability out over this commission so that he doesn't look like a dictator, so that it's not perceived as some dictator move. He's getting the advice of successful private sector people. This is a sane thing to do. And the media will not look at it that way.
So it's sane to not totally cut out all government.
What? I'm not sure you heard what I said, but
I
no,
I'm
you're right. It's not sane to not cut all of government. What are we saying?
I'm just I don't really care. If I were him,
I understand what he's doing.
I wouldn't care about the liability, and I would be like, you know what? You guys allowed it to get this big all these years in office. Now, guess what? You get to deal with coming up with a great message right now to fight this. Because I'm cutting it. Will they get another chance like that again?
And that's the thing. I'm not
snippity
I'm not
snip
totally
cut
against
cut.
That. But when you damage down ticket and you can't control either House or Senate, then what kind of job have you done?
I reject that narrative, sir. I reject the narrative that it would be him damaging down ticket. It's all the people that allowed it to get this big that damaged
Lord,
it themselves.
I'm with you on that one, too. But that does not
so
explain
weird.
The
like
whole
not.
Of this particular situation.
I'm just saying.
It is worth the discussion, though.
I don't know. That's why I just feel like it's. It seems like I'm going to create more government to cut this government. And I don't like
know.
That.
When I hear more government being created, it's never an issue. Like, it's always something that grows government. This is actually an effort to shrink government.
By creating more government.
Temporarily. When has anything been temporary in government? Anything?
I love it. You just admitted it. It's okay.
Oh, would you stop?
That's all right. That's all right. So now that we've established that, I ought to, at this point, get at Kane for not playing Warhammer, but I'm not. It's all right that you don't want to do the...
Quit attacking me, Dana!
You or Steve. Steve is probably like, what? I don't even under... He wouldn't know. No, that's all right. It's okay. You guys just don't want to play fun radio activities. It's okay. A couple of other things. The Hunter Biden. Lorraine's got a piece up at Substack. Chapter and verse. The Alford plea. This is an interesting little twist here. And we talked about this yesterday. The Alford plea, his tax case in California. So Hunter Biden is trying to, the Alford plea is when you're trying to say that you're innocent and you're acknowledging that the government could probably win its case, but you're innocent. And let's just go ahead and resolve that. You know that the evidence is here. I'm just going to maintain my innocence and we'll go our separate ways. But the prosecutor shockingly rejected that. And this is after you had David Weiss, who first they tried to make the charges go away. Then they tried to do the sweetheart deal. And he just kept getting, it just was just a nightmare. And so now we have this. And what I think it was like a half hour. I was looking at my notes here. I think it was a half hour before everyone got in the courtroom and the trial began that they said that they were going to switch their plea. So it was like, it definitely was a stunt that he was doing. And it's his, you know, his tax fraud case gambit here. Andy McCarthy had a really good piece on it as well, where he was explaining specifically the plea and how he would say, you know, he would only admit that the government, Hunter Biden's, by the Alford plea, he would only admit that the government had the evidence and could prove its case, but he's not going to admit guilt or any kind of criminal intention. So what I, you know, in looking at this and what McCarthy was writing about too, and again, you can read this piece up at Chapter and Verse, Lorraine's latest. What I just, he knows he's going to get a pardon either way, because the prosecutor promoted it. And of course the judge isn't going to allow it. They're not going to allow it because why would they accept the plea from him, knowing that the prosecutors are ready to go, the case is ready to go, they have the evidence, they're going to convict this guy, it doesn't matter. So why would they say, okay, we'll take less than that, okay, we'll go ahead and acquiesce and we'll grant you this, that you can just say that we can prove our case and you don't have to admit any guilt? So they rejected it because why would they not? That would be stupid and really eyebrow raising if they had not rejected it. So at some point, what he will probably end up doing is pleading guilty and working out an actual agreement. And he's going to have to negotiate from their position. That's what it's going to, because he's going to get pardoned anyway. It doesn't matter if he pleads guilty to all or none of the charges. He knows he's going to get pardoned. And I feel like the fact that he pulled this stunt is an indication that he knows he's going to get pardoned too. He knows this is him with his stunts, but he knows it's going to be pardoned.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
And make sure you go and find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I was reading this piece, by the way, and we've talked about this before. My friend John Lott has a piece that he did that kind of dovetails with all these previous pieces about the CDC hiding stuff. The CDC and FBI and everybody else, they've been trying to hide defensive gun usage for forever. And apparently there's more evidence of them doing it. The CDC under the Biden administration, they keep trying to suppress data proving that, you know, regular average everyday Joes and Janes that are armed, they can help prevent crime. And they removed entirely the estimates that they had for defensive gun usages from their website. So how do you have a legitimate conversation about criminal usage when you omit and take great pains to omit the defensive gun usages? And the reason that you omit the defensive gun usages is because they vastly outnumber the criminal usage statistics. And remember, there were all these emails that showed they were working with these anti-gun folks. And there were all these emails that showed that they knew that it was harmful to their agenda of gun banning, so they wanted it removed. It's just, this is, and then you wonder why no one trusts government. This is the CDC trying to politicize something, just like when they claimed that they were barred from studying quote-unquote gun violence. They weren't barred from it. They were barred from being political with taxpayer dollars. There's a big difference. If you're going to conduct a survey or study, conduct a study. If you're going to electioneer and politicize, then you're not going to get taxpayer money for that. For either way, that shouldn't be, you know. One last other thing. Tim Walz had made a statement. Actually, he was in an interview on Israel, and he was talking about October 7th. And he had said, quote, "We can't allow what's happened in Gaza to happen. The Palestinian people have every right to life and liberty themselves." He goes, I think put the leverage on to make sure we move towards a two-state solution, end quote. They've rejected a two-state solution, you absolute moron. It's a real interview. It was over at WCMU. It was their public radio. It was a radio interview that he conducted. And it's online. You can find it online. They have the transcript up and the audio. That's, wow. Wow. Tiananmen Tim. Never met tyrants that he didn't like. He had said he condemned what happened on October 7th, and he said it was horrific. And he goes, but we can't allow what's happened in Gaza to happen. What do you mean what's happened in Gaza? The fact that they voted for and elected legitimately a terrorist organization as their government? The fact that they were going to elect legitimately again the same terrorist organization as their government? The fact that the terrorist organization that is their government enjoys overwhelming popularity, not just in Gaza, but I mean, both of the territories. I mean, what is that what he's talking about? Or when Hamas kills its own people by misfiring rockets, etc., while trying to carry out acts of terror against their neighbors to the north? That? I mean, I'm just curious. Like, what does he not want to have happen again? Because this is an act of defense, and they have to root out Hamas, and Hamas is trying to hide in Gaza and claim that you're going after citizens, innocents, by hiding amongst the people that they say are the innocents. Why would you make them targets by hiding amongst them, you absolute cowards? So this dude's not right. This dude's never been ready for prime time. He definitely isn't now. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, this is Cut 11, by the way, Juan. It's Valerie Jarrett. This is her claim on Kamala Harris's qualifications list.
And she's rolled up her sleeves, and she takes her case directly to the American people, and she knows she has to earn every single vote because she's the most qualified person for the job.
What? Based on what qualifications? Was it when she was in California and wrongfully jailing black people so that she had some sort of labor force for California cleanup highways?
I don't know. That's a great question, Kane. I don't think that you're going to be getting any answers.
Or when she was senator and did literally nothing. Maybe that's what she was talking about.
Folks, make sure you go sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Next week is the lead up to the debate. Oh, joy. Live, laugh, love. You don't want to say joy. That's her slogan. I hope you have a great weekend. God bless.